Again, it is a privilege to be here. We've enjoyed our day. We've enjoyed the preaching this morning, Sunday school, and church service, the singing. It's been a good day. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. People say, speak softly, carry a big stick. I like to say, this is my wake-up stick, so don't be napping. No, it's not. It's really just a picture of what the message is about tonight. It's about Moses and the rod of God. And simple tool. Simple tool, but God was able to do many great things through it. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through verse 15. Exodus chapter 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet together tonight. Lord, the freedom that you've given to us, we ask, Lord, not to take it for granted, but Lord, to thank you. Lord, help us as we look at the life of Moses. Lord, just an ordinary man with an ordinary tool, but Lord, you are able to do many great things because of the power that he held within his hand. Lord, thank you. Again, ask that we would look at our lives. And Lord, what you have equipped us with, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The message tonight is about what Moses did before, during, and after the battle. What Moses did before, during, and after the battle. See, the fact is, folks, that every one of us, we were just in a battle, or we're in one now, or we're going to be in one. That's the fact as a Christian walk. And if you have not gone through that or going through that, you need to check your salvation, because the devil wants to discourage you. He wants to fight against you. Through each one of these battles, though, I like to say that God gives us things that we can grasp onto. You know, as a rock climber, he has hand grips that he grasps onto, he hangs onto. So the next time that you're going through a battle, you can say, the Lord helped me here. The Lord gave me this promise. I can hang on to that, and I can remember that it was God that did that for me. Don't think that you're ever going to go through a battle alone, because the Lord promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. What Moses did before the battle, Moses recognized the tool that God had given to him. This isn't Moses' tool, but just an example of it. Just an ordinary rod, but Moses recognized the tool that God had given to him. See, the fact is, folks, we think many times as Christians that God created us and then he had to come up with something for us to do. And that's absolutely the false statement. God had a purpose for us before he ever created us. Every one of us, he has a purpose for you. As I shared with the men upstairs, if there wasn't a purpose for your life now, God would have already taken you home. There's no reason for you to stay except God has a purpose for your life. And it's up to every one of us to decide whether or not we're going to fulfill that purpose. We choose every day what's going to happen in our life. Am I going to fulfill God's purpose for my life? Or am I going to do what I want to do? Moses recognized the tool that God had given to him. See, he realized that he was just an ordinary man, just like you and I. He stood before that burning bush. And the Lord said, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. I can't do that. How many of us be willing to say, I can't do that, Lord? See, Moses knew that he couldn't do it. The Lord knew that he could. The Lord said to him, what is that in thy hand? A rod. The Lord just cast it down. The Bible says that Moses cast it down and it became a serpent. The Lord then told him to pick it back up. The Bible says it became a rod again. Moses began to recognize the power of the rod that he held within his hands. He then told him to go stand before Pharaoh, to tell him to let my people go. Time and time again, Moses saw the power of God that he held within his hands. They then began to leave Egypt, to go down to the Red Sea. Israel begins to question. Why did you lead me down here? Why did you lead us down here? To die? God told Moses, take the rod and hold it over the water. The Bible says that Moses did exactly what God told him to do. The waters parted. The ground dried up. Israel walked through. The Egyptians began to follow. The Bible says again, he told Moses, take the rod, hold it over the water. The Bible says that the waters closed up and every one of the Egyptians died that day. Could God have parted the water before they ever got there? Yeah. But I believe that God wanted to show Israel once again, I'm your God. I'll protect you. Just shortly after that, they needed water. God says, strike the rock. Again, the power of God that Moses held within his hand, water came forth. Moses again saw God performing a miracle with a simple tool that God was using in Moses' life. God's given us all tools. Before the battle begins, we need to recognize what God has given to us. Do you know that missionaries all over the world are in a battle today? They're trying to hold up the Word of God for the souls of men, and the devil's fighting against them. See, Moses recognized the tool. He also realized the need back in verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. See, Moses knew that he had to take the rod of God with him. Because he knew it was going to be God. You cannot realize the need until you've been exposed to it, though. Missionaries take survey trips. They go to a country. They see the need. Folks, do you see the need right here? Have you been exposed to it? Do you know that God placed you exactly where you are right now? For a purpose. Are you and I the light that we ought to be for Him? Do we share the gospel like we ought to? Do you know that our neighbors watch us. They know when we come, when we go. They know when you leave for church. They know when you get home from church. It was kind of funny when we moved to Canada. We were looking for a house. I mean, we looked at several houses. Coming from the country, going to Canada, the Raverts know what we're talking about. There, basically, every house is 3 feet apart. Okay? When I left Michigan, I mean, we were on a 500-acre farm, and it's not like my neighbors were right next door. So it was a huge adjustment for me to think that my neighbor is going to be right next door. So we looked and we prayed and we looked and we prayed and we looked and we prayed. And you know what? We went to this one house. It wasn't on the market. It was off the market. It had been on. And I walked through the backyard. It was in the middle of April. It was snow everywhere. And I walked through, and there's an 80-acre field on the one side. There's a 40-acre field on the other side of the house. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is too good to be true. We walk in the house, and we'd prayed for a three-bedroom home. It was a three-bedroom home. God was already prepared that home for us. Because you know what? That house had come off the market 6 months when we decided to move to Canada. God had already prepared that house for us. Don't think God's not going to take care of you when he asks you to do something. Moses recognized the tool that God had given to him. He realized the need. He saw the enemy of God standing before them. They came to destroy God's people. He told Joshua, choose us out men. Joshua did exactly what he was told to do. Moses said, tomorrow, Aaron and Hur and I will go to the top of the hill. Noah, why don't you come up here, please? Noah's going to be my Moses for tonight. Go ahead and hold the rod of God right out there. There you go. Straight out. That's it. Oh, you can just straighten your arm. See, Moses knew that he had to take the rod of God with him. If it gets heavy, you can switch arms, okay? Hopefully you and I have recognized the need that God's placed before us. We realize that there are souls that need to be saved. We realize that there are opportunities we can serve in our church. We realize that there are missionaries around the world that we can pray for. See, folks, honestly, there's always something we can do. Well, I don't have any money. Well, it doesn't cost you anything to pray. I don't have transportation. Somebody will come pick you up. Don't think that you can't serve God because of your age, because that's not true. I'm too young. I'm too old. I have too many children. See, the devil will allow us to use any excuse. To keep us from doing what God's asked us to do. Realize the need. We had the opportunity to go to Mexico 2 different times. Keep that arm out there. Each time we went to Mexico, we were exposed to a need that we saw. Souls needed to be saved. We went with bearing precious seed. We'd go and assemble John and Romans, go out in the afternoon, distribute them. Later on, we would have a church service there in the parquet about 5 o'clock. This particular one night, Brother Jarvis came to me and said, Brother Phil, I need you and your workers and all your teens to hold this big tarp up over the people because it's going to start raining. So we all got around the outside, had a couple rods holding up in the center, and sure enough, it began to pour. And I mean, it began to pour. Well, you're standing on the outside trying to be underneath the tarp. And lo and behold, the waters down your arm, down your side, and you are totally drenched. Well, how are you doing, Noah? Your arm begins to get tired. So you switch arms, either you or this way. But you know what? When it was invitation time, the young people, the moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, the ones who got up and went forward and got saved, you realize, you know what? It's worth it all. We were exposed to something that we really didn't quite understand until we saw it with our own eyes. We went to the Dominican Republic. We were handing out the little chick tracts, the cartoon characters. We began to distribute them. Pretty soon, a big group of people came all around us, and we're thinking, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. They were speaking in Spanish. We couldn't understand them. They wanted to take the chick tracts and distribute them for us. We were like, huh? What? See, because we're from North America. And it doesn't happen like that. Nobody wants to hear the good news of the gospel. I want to do what I want to do. But there was different. Our kids were changed because they were exposed to something. They saw a need and they were willing to help. Jeremiah teaches us that our eye affects our hearts. When you see something, when you see a need, it will change you. It'll make a difference in your life. Working with teens for over 20 years between two different churches, one of the greatest things we ever did was take mission trips with our kids. It had an impact that, honestly, changed their life. Because they were able to go to the field and see it for themselves. We can watch a DVD, and DVDs will impact us, but not like going to the field firsthand. What your eye sees will affect your heart. Moses saw the need, he readied the army, and he stood on the top of the hill. What Moses did during the battle, Moses relied upon the Word of God. Throughout the Bible, the rod is a picture of God's Word. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Does God's Word comfort you, folks? It ought to. It ought to be our comfort. That ought to be the first thing that we run to when we're going through a battle. We cannot make it through the battle without God's Word. We need to rely upon the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 119, there's 176 verses. Every one of those verses refers to the Word of God. God told us 176 times about the Word of God, to rely upon it, to rest upon it, to wait upon it. He's willing to help us. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, in order to be able to hide something, you first have to possess it. So in other words, you got to have God's word. And you need to hide it in our lives so we can use it for him. Psalm 119, verse 81, it says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." God's word gives us hope. We know who holds the future. We know who holds our hands. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word will give us direction as we walk our Christian walk. But we have to allow it to do so. Doing okay? Do you know that even Jesus relied upon God's word? Every time Satan would come to him, he'd say, as it is written. If it's important for our Lord Jesus Christ to use it, don't you think it's important for us to use it too? You can switch arms. There you go. Because that's part of my illustration. Okay. We need to rely upon God's word. The Bible says that as long as the rod of God was lifted up, Israel prevailed. You can go ahead and set it down now. Whenever the rod of God was let down, the Bible says Amalek prevailed. Moses knew that after several times, he'd see the rod of God lifted up. Israel was winning. Every time it was down, Amalek was winning. You know, it's no different than our lives, folks. When we lift up the word of God in our lives, the Lord's winning. We used to sing a song as kids. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. When we let down the word of God, we're really hiding under a bushel. I had Moses pick it back up. The Bible says that Moses held it until the going down of the sun. Verse 10, and Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand that Amalek prevailed. And Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. I don't have a stone for you, Moses, but you can rest. See, Moses got tired. You and I are going to get tired also, folks, in the battle. Day after day after day, we're going to get tired. See, many times our missionaries are over there in the field and you know, they get tired too. They need a rest. The Bible says that Aaron and Hur went and got a rock and put it under for Moses. And he rested. It reminds me when we were in Ireland last summer with Don and Lisa Thatcher. We went out to see one of the historical lighthouses there. And as we're walking out to the lighthouse, the wind was very boisterous that day. I mean, we were literally walking on an angle because it was trying to blow us back the opposite way. And as we were walking out there, I noticed to the left, here's this rock out in the middle of the Irish Sea. And the waves are just slapping against this rock and slapping against this rock. You know what? That rock never moved, though. It just reminded me of our Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless of what storm we're going through, we can rest on Him. He's not going to change. We can rest on Him. We sing a song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. We can rest upon the Lord. Psalm chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Let's turn there. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Doing okay? Straighten that arm. That's better. Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord Jesus Christ cares about us. He's concerned about us. He wants us to rest upon Him. Not only did Moses rely upon God's word and rest upon the rock, but we also see next that Moses reached out for the help of others. See, Aaron and Hur were with Moses all day. And they stood there watching Moses Every time the rod of God was up, they noticed the same thing that Moses saw, that Israel prevailed. And they noticed that every time that Moses let down the rod, Amalek prevailed. The Bible says that they got the rock, they put it underneath Moses, and he rested. Then the Bible says that Aaron was on one side and Hur was on the other side, and they steadied his arm until the going down of the sun. Did Moses' hand get heavy, get tired? Yeah. It didn't say that he quit switching hands. Hur was on this side holding up it. Aaron was on one side holding up it. God chose to send Moses to Aaron and Hur to the top of the hill that day to perform a miracle for him. Moses knew that he had to take the rod of God with him. See, every time that Moses held it up, Aaron and Hur saw that. They noticed that Israel was winning. Every time they let it down, Amalek was winning. They needed to come beside Moses to help him. Folks, here tonight, you know what? To me, it's a picture of your pastor. He needs your help. He can't do it all. He will do as much as he can, but he needs an Aaron and he needs a Hur to come alongside him and help him. Our missionaries need an Aaron and Hur to come alongside them and help them. Back in chapter 17. In verse 12, and Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. In verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. When Moses stood here, he got tired. But he had faithful men that were standing beside him. Men that he knew that he could count on. They came alongside Moses and said, "We'll help you." They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They saw a need and they helped. I can honestly tell you that there are many Christians today who see a need and say, "Somebody will do it." We were just at a church not too long ago. This one individual said to me, "There's some carpet that needs to be fixed right there. But the deacons aren't doing it." I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, why aren't you doing it? Then he mentions, "Oh, there's a crack in the parking lot that needs to be filled. But nobody's doing anything about it." See, there are folks who see a need and do nothing. And there are folks who see a need and say, "Can I help?" Which type of those people are you? Are you the one who's concerned and says, "I'll help you, Pastor. I'll be there"? Or are we the ones that sit back and say, "Well, man, there's nothing for me to do here. Somebody needs to do it, but that's not me." I hope that's not you tonight. I hope you're not the individual who sees something and doesn't do it, but you're the one who's willing to help. See, Moses knew that he could count on Aaron and Hur. Your pastor needs to be able to know that he can count on you. "Pastor, you know what? I've got the day off. Can we do something together? We make calls together. We'll go visit the shut-in. I can guarantee there's always something to do." Did God have to use Moses Aaron and Hur and Joshua to win the battle? No. He could have caused an earthquake and swallowed them all up. But that day, he chose to use men. Folks, I can honestly tell you, he wants to use men and women today. He wants to use you and I. As I told you before, if he didn't, he would have already taken you home. There's a purpose for you to fulfill. Are you willing to fulfill that purpose that God has for you? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." But most of us are too proud to share a burden with anybody. I don't need your help. I can do this myself. How are you today? Fine. You're really struggling, but I'm fine. We have gotten into such a habit, we don't even think about what we say. We automatically spit back. Fine. Fine. Doing good. Your heart's broken, but you're not willing to share your burden with anybody. Don't be that way. Be willing to reach out and let others help you. Moses recognized the tool that God had given to him. He realized the need. He relied upon God's word. He rested upon the rock. He reached out for the help of others. And finally, in verse 15, he remembered it was God who gave the victory. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, "Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." Moses remembered that it was God that gave the victory that day. It wasn't him. From way back, he remembered God every time that he used the rod of God, that God gave the victory. From taking his people out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, giving water to the people, and now standing before Amalek, God destroying them. It was God that did it. It wasn't Moses. Moses knew that. Moses knew what his life was like. He was just a man like you and I. Folks, when God gives us the victory in our lives, do we give God the glory for it? Do we thank God that he was able to do a miracle through our life? Oh, look what I can do. I can play the piano, I can play the trumpet, I can preach, I can sing. I'm great at sports. Well, Jim, where do you think that you got those abilities? Who do you think controls your next breath? It's not us. It's God. Honestly, we can't do anything without the Lord allowing us to do it. Moses recognized that it was God that gave the victory, and he gave God the glory for it. Folks, tonight I ask you these questions. Have you recognized the tools that God's given to you? Do you realize the value of them? Do you realize the need that's been placed before you? Are you relying upon the Word of God to guide you each step of your way? Are you resting upon the rock? Are you willing to reach out for the help of others? And when it's all said and done, do we remember that it's God that gave us those abilities and we give God the glory for them? Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4 and then verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Right in the middle of that passage, it tells us, as of the ability which God giveth. It's not us. We are clay. God chooses to use you and I. Tonight, I just want us to understand that it's God that gives us what we have. Are we willing to give it back to Him? Are we willing to use it for the Lord? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We went to Guyana, I believe it was 6 years ago, to do a building project. We landed on a little plane. You kind of circle the airport because, honestly, you're out there in the jungle and you have to make sure there's no critters on the runway. So we come down, we land, we get our stuff, we get on the boat, we go upriver, and we begin to work that afternoon. And there were five or six nationals that were working with us. And from time to time, I'd look over and I'm watching, they're watching us, and I'm thinking, why are they watching us? And about the third day, George, one of the fellows, comes to me, and he says, Phil, he says, why? I'm like, why what, George? He says, why? And I says, George, why what? He says, why do you come? He says, why do you give of your time to come here? And it just broke my heart. You know why? They don't understand why we would give of our time and our money to come over and help them. But folks, a long time ago, I realized that there was a need. God had exposed that to me on different mission trips. I could have said no. Let somebody else go do it. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. I'm really not. I just want you to realize there's something that you can do. Every one of us. I'm not saying it has to be on the mission field. You can do things here at your church. But be willing to use the tools that God's given to you for Him. A few weeks ago, we got back from making a trip to Ohio. And when we got back there was a envelope. We opened the envelope, and here was a letter from a church in Manitoba that we'd been at in February. And in that letter, it said, a little boy in our church, 6 cents in the offering for your ministry. And we didn't really know how to send 6 cents, so we sent you a stamp. So the Lord already multiplied it 10 times. This past week, we were just at a church. We crossed the border. Just before we got to that church, the air conditioner quit. I didn't say anything to anybody at that church. You know what? They gave us an offering of $600. The Lord just multiplied it 10 more times. Don't think that the Lord doesn't know that we had needs. See, folks, we say, well, God really doesn't know what I have need of. I can honestly tell you He does. If He knows the number of hairs that you have on your head, you have more than I do. but he's concerned about you. He will meet your needs. My children will not go begging bread. God wants to use you. Are we willing to allow the Lord to use us? Are we willing to use the tools that God's given to us? The beginning of our DVD. What tools are in your toolbox that you can use for the Lord? Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the opportunity tonight to look at Moses. Lord, the tool that you used to do many great miracles. Just a simple tool. Just an ordinary man. But Lord, you were able to do many great things because he was willing to be used. Lord, help us to look at our lives tonight. Help us, Lord, to be willing to use what you've given to us for your honor and for your glory. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.